Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's show. I'm Lisa Anderson, here to guide the conversation in several different segments as we head through the show for this week. First off, I want to let you know that we are going to be doing a summer giving campaign. This is an opportunity for you to give back at Boundless. You can find out more information by hopping over to our blog, boundless.org/blog. We're going to have a post there that's going to let you know what's going on with summer giving. So be part of that. I know a lot of you have asked, you know, how can we give back to Boundless? Well, this is going to be a fun way that we can do it and we can stand up and be counted. Yay. Later on in the show, we have one of our counselors here to answer a question about two only children having a good marriage. Is it possible when you just come from a small family and you don't have that support network? She's going to weigh in on that. And then for our culture segment, I'm going to be talking to Janet Boynes. She is the author of Called Out, A Former Lesbian's Discovery of Freedom. So a great, great, powerful story of what God has done in her life, especially in recent years. Well, speaking of trusting God with our stories, we're going to talk about worry today. And I'm going to start off and actually introduce it as saying the sin of worry, because the Bible, you know, pretty much calls us out on worrying and how, for those of us that claim Christ and claim him not only as our authority, but as our rock and our shield, are we really supposed to be worrying about stuff? Hats off to Catherine Sill, who's our intern this summer at Boundless. Woo woo! She produced this show, and this is her roundtable idea, as are her friends and fellow interns here at Focus who are joining us for the conversation, Megan and Kevin. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey. Hi. Well, great to have this discussion. So we're going to start off, for those who aren't familiar, I mean, I'm not going to go into a big like exegesis of various passages here, but let me just throw out, you guys can reference this as you were listening to the show, Luke 12. This is probably the passage that most people think of when they think of worry. Jesus talking to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food and the body more than clothing. And then he goes into talking about the birds and how, you know, hey, they just trust God for what they got. Okay, so why can't we? That is a loose paraphrase, everyone. There's not a version that actually says that. But it closes out by saying, fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. And I know in studying this passage and when I've heard it preached on, I have heard pastors say that do not in that passage is basically the same imperative that is used for literally do not sin or the do nots of the Ten Commandments. And so a pretty stark statement here. Would you say, I'm going to open up the discussion here, do you trend toward being a worrying person or not? Or where are you on the continuum?
I would definitely say I am. That's probably like one of the sins I struggle with the most is worry. And especially in college, I feel like I worry a lot about how am I going to do in this class? Am I going to get this assignment done on time? Just things like that are not that important. And they always do get done, but they definitely do make me worry.
Okay.
I would say that during the good times of life, I don't worry at all. I'm like, oh, life is good. I don't have anything to worry about. But then when the trials hit and the tests come and whatever else life has to offer, that's when I start worrying. And so it depends on the season I'm in, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, similar to what Megan said for me. You know, when life's good, there's not usually lots of worries. But especially being in college, you know, there are things that come up like worrying about the future and finances and just trying to figure out where life's going. It's not a big worry all the time, but it's definitely there. And it's something that if you dwell on it too much, it can definitely take you to a place you don't want to be.
Yeah. Would you guys say that your worry is mostly because of expectations that you have of yourself or that other people have of you? Or has it been like through situations that have come up in life or what? I mean, what? Because most of us, you know, here we are, we're living in a first world country. It's not like we're wondering whether we're going to have anything to eat for breakfast. You know, I mean, if all of you in third world countries are like, seriously, why are you Americans worrying? but, you know, we all, for some reason, have something to worry about. And it's which is why it's a sinful behavior. We put it on ourselves. But what would you guys say is the source of your worry most often?
I think I can speak for all of us right now. And I say school is a huge stressor right now. And that comes from the expectation of finding a job after school and your parents expecting you to get good grades and that pressure that you're putting on yourself. So just school has created such a competition to be the best, and then you worry, well, are my grades good enough? Did I do well on that test? Am I going to get a job after? Am I even pursuing the right career right now?
So a lot just, of unknowns kind yeah. of speaking into that. Okay.
Yeah, I think a lot of it just comes from cultural expectations. We have these thoughts of this is the way things are supposed to be, and if I don't do it this way, then maybe there's something wrong with me. And I think it's very easy just to let what other people do drive what we do and to worry about that instead of just going on the path that God has for each and every one of us. I know that's something that I deal with, is just, you know, looking at what other people are doing and comparing myself to that and worrying about whether or not I measure up or compare.
I think, too, just because we live in America, there's so much, like, hype over the American dream and wanting to succeed. We are a country that's just so fixated on success. And so I know for me, I worry a ton about the future and how I want to do things well, and I want to be successful. And that's not what we should be striving after, you know. The Bible tells us what are the things that we should be seeking first. And I think it can be really hard because you just get caught up so much in the temporary ness of life and just where we are.
So it's interesting to me because I think worry is one of those things that not only in America and other first world countries, you know, hello, Australians and UK people and Canadians, whatever, and others. I think it's one of those things that even in our culture and in the church, we kind of let slide. We don't really address it as a sin. We just, in some cases, I think we consider it a good thing. Like, oh, you're a responsible person. Thank goodness you're worrying about this. You know, what would be an example of a time where you really recognized your worry as truly getting to the point of either overtaking your life or truly becoming sinful behavior where you couldn't really pass it off as just, oh yeah, that's just normal. All my friends, all my classmates are worried in general, but something where almost the fear of something or the planning of something or worrying about something became borderline idolatrous in consuming you.
I know for me personally, when I went to college before that, I would worry. This is really silly, but before when I was, I'd worry about what college I was going to choose when I was in high school. And I had this irrational fear that I was going to be homeless someday, like that I would not graduate or that I would fail my classes. And it was really ridiculous, but I would tell my friends about it and I'd be like, oh, I'm going to do like so bad. Like, I don't think I'll do well in school. I'll never get a job someday. And it started to become to the point where I was having like more than one person that were like close Christian friends or my mom say, you worry a lot and it's not okay. And worry is a sin and you need to address that. And that was when I realized like, oh, well, because I never thought of it as a sin. I was like, whatever, you know. But I think when I finally like recognized that, it was just kind of like, wow, I should really do something about it. And I have, but I mean, it's still something I struggle with. It's not, sometimes it's easier. I think I deal with it better than I used to.
Okay, there's been times where I've been praying for something for a really long time and I haven't seen an answer to that, or I haven't realized that there's been an answer to it. And so there's been sleepless nights where my mind is racing over these things. And so I'm literally losing sleep over stuff that I can't control. And instead of giving it to God and praying about it, I'm thinking to myself all these things and letting my mind race. And as children of God, we're promised that we can give that to God, and that's part of the benefits that we receive. And I haven't taken advantage of it and just let my mind go crazy.
Now, something for me is the world of finances. It's easy to just being a college student, money is kind of a scarce commodity. Just kind of worrying about where it's going to come from, just because there are all these things, there's this, there's that, that I think I need to be buying, that I need for my life or I want. And it's easy just to make that an idol sometimes and just to focus on that too much. Like, it's good to focus on that because finances are a critical part of life. But it's easy to elevate that to something that is almost act like it's bigger than God. And God really, he always supplies what we need. There's never a time where he doesn't give us exactly what we need. Sometimes we don't realize that need, and sometimes it's just a matter of humbling myself and giving it over to God. But that's one of the areas I would definitely say.
It's interesting because isn't it, I don't have the stat right in front of me, but I think I've heard before that really only 10% of the stuff that we worry about is something that we actually have any control over. You know, there are some,
for sure.
Most of the things are, we're at the mercy of other people or circumstances, or it's going to be some disaster that befalls us and we didn't obviously plan for that or prepare for it. But yet we often spend a good portion of our time worrying about things that actually we don't even know if they're going to happen. So Catherine is worrying about being homeless. And she, so far you're not.
Yeah. I mean,
so that's
so
good.
So far, so good.
Yeah. But it's wild how crazy making it can be, because we tend, you know, towards worry. It's interesting because for my situation, I think of, you know, first of all, as you get older, and of course, you know, here y'all are like in college and obviously doing internships and, you know, all that comes into play, like the future kind of stuff. As you get older, you realize you live more life and just more, you know, hello, time. This is like a mathematical solution here. More bad things happen to you. You've just had more time for bad things to happen to members of your family, to happen to you personally. And it really starts, it's like you start parsing things out, like where you're like, okay, this is really bad. This wasn't as bad as that. This was definitely the worst, you know, and you start like grading things on what, you know, what deserves to be worried about and what doesn't. And it can get... I think for me, it can get to be crazy making as well, you know, or then you just kind of cope by just saying, well, I couldn't control any of it anyway, and so forget it. And so I'm just not going to think about it at all, I guess. So what would you all say, like in looking at, you know, the concept of worrying and knowing that, I mean, y'all are doing internships now, but you don't necessarily know what that first job's going to be or where you're going to land or where you're going to be in 5 years. What do you do to address worry in your own life? Have you done, you know, have you called yourself out on it or called others out on it? And what, you know, how have you kind of addressed it? One, just to be able to survive. And then two, to really recognize it as a pattern of thought and behavior that isn't honoring to God ultimately.
I would say for me, a big part of it is my support system, my family and friends. I have some amazing family, some great friends, and they're really good at just helping me along when I have something I'm struggling with, and I may not even recognize it, but they're really good at just, you know, in a very encouraging way, pointing it out and saying, hey, this is something that's not helping you grow, and it's keeping holding you back and keeping you from growing in ways you could and should. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge part for me. It's also, I mean, this may be the church answer, but it's true, is prayer and spending time in the Word. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, like when I'm worried about stuff, when I just go and spend time with God and just, you know, talk to Him and look at His Word to see what He has to say, I mean, it calms me down so much and is a great relief, really.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I've heard that from, you know, I've experienced it and heard it. In fact, was just in a conversation with a friend the other night who just talked about that, the whole John 15 concept of abiding and what it truly means to abide in Christ and let Him produce fruit in our lives and let Him sustain us and stuff. That's good.
And it's not easy. That's for sure.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's hard. You know, you think of abide as like you don't have to do anything and you're just kind of like, wow, that's hard.
It's easy just to say, you know, go spend time in the Word, but you know, it's easier said than done, you know. There are other things that are going on.
But I think there's totally a supernatural return. I think people totally agree, like, oh yeah, well, you know, I'm just going to do it. All I'm doing is reading something. But I think God truly honors that. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Absolutely. Sure. Like you just said, the support system is huge. Just being able to go back and reflect on how faithful God has been. And I think you can think about it all you want, but once you're talking about it with someone, you can visually lay it out and see, okay, I was worried then, but God obviously came through then. Maybe not how I thought He was going to come through, but He did. And just laying out a timeline and seeing when you were worried and then seeing how God came through has been huge for me, and my parents have been a huge supporter in that, and just being able to help me take a step back and seeing how faithful God has been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just going off of what they said about accountability, because a lot of times I will start to worry about different stuff and not even know that I'm worrying, and just to like have someone call you out on it. Earlier this year, I was like really worrying really bad, just with like racing and stuff. When I have to race for like meets and stuff in college, I get like really, really anxious, and I was just really stressed out with school and everything I had to do. And my mom was just like, you worry too much. You need to memorize Philippians 4:6-7. And I was like, okay, whatever, mom. But then I actually did, and it really helped me, because I am a worrywart, and I think it was good just to remember who Jesus is and what he's done. And when I focus more on him instead of on myself and like circumstances, it's a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, most of what we've talked about here, so I'm going to turn a corner here for a second, and it's just going to sound super depressing, so I'm sorry about that, but we've talked about, like, our personal circumstances and, like, looking ahead at our futures and our finances, and, you know, we haven't even delved into, like, relationships mm-hmm. and, like, you know, hey, who are you going to marry, and is it the right person? Whoa, mm-hmm. worry about that. that'll give you something else on your plate. But in addition to all of our own circumstances and what we're walking through, I mean, you all, as young college students, are growing up in a world that is becoming increasingly, on a number of fronts, by anyone's standard, unstable. You know, we just not long ago at all had a mass shooting in Charleston. We are constantly hearing about ISIS and terrorism. I mean, I don't know that you guys even have a recollection of life before 9/11. Do you really?
No. I mean, not really.
No. I mean, so you grew up with that as basically an informant of your consciousness in that sense. You know, and then we're told, like, well, don't rely on Social Security because you probably won't have it when you're older. And so there's another financial pressure. And then obviously we're in the throes of a national ruling on same-sex marriage. When you guys look at the landscape of the world that you're growing up in and how it's going to inform your future and stuff, what is that kind of just too distant for you? Is that something that you feel like this actually may really affect my life in the next 10 to 15 years? Or where do you go with that kind of stuff?
I think part of me worries about things that are going on in our nation, especially when you think how our nation started as America being a country that was like founded on God, and we're definitely sliding from that. I would not consider, I mean, even people claim, most people claim to be Christian. I wouldn't really say that majority of them probably have like a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And mm-hmm. I think it, part of me is scared that it's going to get worse as we get older, especially just like with stuff that's going on with like the same sex marriage ruling. I'm curious as to what it's going to be like when we are our parents' age and we have children. Mm-hmm. How much is that going to change?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're at an age where we're young and, you know, we have our whole lives ahead of us. But it is concerning to see that stuff, because just in the last 10 years of, you know, being old enough to see what's going on in the world, I've seen a lot of changes. And I mean, I'm sure that's nothing compared to what a lot of people have seen, but it is concerning just because, you know, used to living a comfortable life and, you know, having things the way they are, and seeing that change for ways that are concerning is definitely a worry. It's one of those things that, you know, I don't think about a whole lot just because there's other things going on in life, but it's definitely a concern.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because earlier you said the number of things that we can control is around, what, 10%?
Yeah, I think that's what
I heard. And so everything that's happening in this nation is part of that 90% that we can't control. And so I think it's, and like we said earlier, it's way easier to say than do, but it's so important not to worry about these things, but be inspired from them and let it impact us for change, and try and help others and use it to inspire us to go and outreach to others and use our testimonies to change these people's lives. And I think the shooting in Charleston is a huge testimony to this, because mm-hmm. we've seen this community and this church just rally around each other and use God as their strength. And it's been a huge testimony to America. And we're not seeing these riots that we saw in Baltimore and Ferguson, and these families are saying they've already forgiven the shooter. That's huge to America, just to use this tragedy as a example of the Savior that we serve. And if we can keep doing that, then I don't know if we have a whole lot to worry about. I mean, there's still a lot of tragedy going on, but like I said, we can't do anything about it except use it to impact others, I guess.
Yeah, just building off what Megan just said, is focusing on that 10% that we can affect change. Because, yes, it's good to know what's going on in the world around us so we can better understand how to interact with those around us. Mm-hmm. But focusing 100% on changing that 10% that we have control over and being beacons of light for Christ in this world is the most important thing we can do, because we can't change that other 90%. We can only change what's immediately around us. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, God's the one that changes hearts, so we can just plant seeds.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, I think it's so important to remember. I always come back to this, and it seems so simplistic, but just remembering that if I truly believe that God is who he says he is and that I am who he says I am, you know, that mm-hmm. he is truly sovereign, all-powerful, in charge of everything, and ultimately all good, you know, it allows me to, even in the midst of chaos, turn my life and my circumstances over to him and realize that I don't have to be able to explain everything. If I had a God that mm-hmm. I could explain, he would be really lame. And yeah. So knowing that, I think, is encouraging. All right. Well, it just reminds me of John 16:33, which I had to actually look up because I didn't have it totally memorized. But basically, Jesus is speaking, of course, and he says, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so I think that is our encouragement for the big things, for the little things, for everything in between, to remember. Remember that, first of all, you know, worry isn't something to be taken lightly, but secondly, mm-hmm. neither is God himself, mm-hmm. the creator of the yeah. universe and of us, mm-hmm. and the fact that he very much cares about every little detail of our lives. So thanks, y'all, for sharing from your hearts on this one.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.